Once you have the federal registration, you can petition any online platform to remove the page, the content, whatever it is, as long as you have the federal registration. So essentially, I get a lot of business owners that, number one, they're like, oh, I don't need to worry about trademarks right now. But number one, in order to make sure you're not infringing on somebody, you need to do an official trademark search.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Hustle to Freedom podcast, where I show you that you don't have to be a natural born entrepreneur to build a business that gives you time freedom, location freedom, and financial freedom. My name is Ryan Helms, and in just 27 months, I paid off over $209,000 in debt, quit my 9-to-5 job, and started building my dream business that scaled to six figures of income in less than 6 months. And on this podcast, I'll be sharing exactly how I did it and bring on some awesome guests that are either doing it or have already done the same thing. So if you're a freedom chaser and you want to fast track that process, this is the podcast for you. And also, be sure to head over to gritandhustle.co to grab your free copy of the Side Hustle Journal. But for now, let's hop in to today's episode. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Hustle to Freedom podcast. As always, bring you guys awesome guests. And today I have Miss Andrea. You just told me, I'm already forgetting it. It's Andrea. Andrea Sager. Welcome. Thanks, Andrea. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm excited about this.
Cool. So you've had quite the journey that we're going to get into here on this episode, really kind of taking probably an atypical path to get to where you're at right now and what you're doing, probably not the normal journey to get there, but we'll dive into all that. So to kind of to tee it up and give some people some context of where we'll go and like what do you do now and like how do you help people?
Yeah. So now I am a small business attorney. I primarily do trademarks and I work with small businesses, a lot of online businesses, protecting what they have to make sure the money that they make, they get to keep. But yeah, I definitely did not have really the typical path to get there.
Yeah. So when I was looking at the information you submitted over for coming on the podcast, you had mentioned that you had originally, or I shouldn't say originally, at one point you had an e-commerce store or online shop, however you want to call it. How'd you get into that?
So yeah, we'll just take it way back. So when I was in law school, I was not used to not making money. Because when I was an undergrad, I actually made pretty good money as a college student. Then I get to law school and you're not allowed to work. So at that time, Poshmark, the online platform Poshmark, had started getting a lot of buzz and I started selling on there. And I was selling a lot of clothes that I had. And then my husband loved thrift stores. So then I started going to thrift stores and I didn't even know about like the thrifting community. I remember just thinking like, oh, this is really nice. I wonder if I could, you know, buy this for $2 and then resell it. And then that quickly picked up. And then I saw a lot of people on Poshmark actually selling new clothing as they had like their own e-commerce store. And I was like, well, this is really cool. I want to get into this. So I started basically just selling my own stuff. Then I started thrifting. And then I got into actual clothing and actual brand new clothing, buying wholesale and then reselling it. And then that just kind of like blew up. And I was selling on Poshmark. I had my own website. And then I opened a brick and mortar store. So it kind of just like grew really quickly. And then by the time I graduated from law school, I had a job at a big firm. So it was working the big firm. And then I was I had the store. And
so so you said you couldn't have a job when you were in law school?
Yeah. In your first year of law school, they don't allow you to work because there's a lot that goes into it or that should be going into it. And so you're honestly just not allowed to work.
Huh. So you were kind of doing all this on the side and then like over that period, things kind of took off while you were still in school.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How'd you manage that? Like kind of growing this on the side? Cause I'm sure it took some time, some hours, and then I'm sure law school wasn't easy.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, at the time, it was kind of a hobby and something that kept me sane while I was in law school, instead of like only studying. I was like, oh, I also have this. So that it helped keep me sane, but it definitely took time. I remember I would be in class and I would be on my computer just like checking orders and like making sure like stuff was getting done. So definitely a lot of multitasking. But I've gotten really good at giving my all to what I'm doing and making sure like, okay, I'm doing this, like I'm getting it done, like studying right now. I guess you would call it time blocking. Like, okay, I'm going to study for this amount of time. Then I'm going to go ship orders or go to the post office, do this, do that. So I guess time blocking really, has been my go-to. And then I would always make sure I would study first, because studying was not what I wanted to do. I wanted to ship orders so I could make money. So studying first would be my motivation, because I would know like, okay, once you finish studying, then you can go and ship your orders or, you know, post new stuff online. So that was really my motivation to do the studying.
Yeah. So when you kind of, you get this to a point where you had a brick and mortar store and all that, why, what happened that made you want to not do it anymore?
Yeah, honestly, like I just got burned out. It was too much. And it was my fault, because I also didn't, I could have put better processes in place at the store to where I was a lot more hands off, but it was to the point where like I would get off, like leave the firm, go to the store, and then I would, like my whole weekends would be stuck at the store. And at the time when we had the store, my husband and I, we had our son who was around eight months when we first got the store. So it was just a lot. We got really burned out, and then we weren't happy because we were in right outside of Cincinnati at the time, and we just weren't happy where we were. And we kind of were just like, okay, we need a huge life change. And when I say huge life change, that's like when like everything in our lives changed. Like we moved across the country to where my family is in Houston, left the big firm, started my own firm, sold the store, like everything was just like a 180.
Quickly? How long of a period of time?
So funny story. It was April. It was the weekend of Easter, 2018. And we were just like sitting there like, okay, we're not happy. We were stuck at home. I remember we had the stomach flu that weekend. Like, so we were both stuck in bed, and then finally we were okay to eat. We were having dinner. I'm like, okay, we're not happy. Like we're not enjoying what's going on here. So we knew we had to make a big life change. And I think it was like the first or second weekend of April. So we gave ourselves a deadline. Okay, we're going to be in Houston by June 1st. And our house wasn't for sale. Like we still had the business. I was still at the firm, like didn't even know what we were going to do. And at that point I hadn't planned on going out on my own for the firm. And so that was like the beginning of April, and we made it to Houston Memorial Day weekend. So it was May 25th, 2018. So like a month and a half later, we actually like had the business sold the house, like everything, and made it down to Houston and completely started over.
Nice. So then you get into, when you got to Houston, was that the plan to open your own firm and focus on small businesses?
So I left the firm the last day of April. And that night I literally was like, okay, I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to start my own firm. And luckily having the store, I had that whole community of e-commerce owners. So that's honestly what got me started, because they would reach out to me at the firm that I was at and they needed help with trademarks. And I was like, yeah, I can help you. You know, these are the rates. It's kind of outrageous, because they didn't really work with small businesses. And then what really pushed me to go out on my own was I had a client that was a store. She had a brick and mortar store and sold online. And she was like, I don't care about the rates. I just need to get this protected. You know, just whatever it is, I'll pay it. Well, then I was onboarding her to the firm, and they didn't want her as a client. And I was like, to me, I didn't see at the time why they would not want her as a client if she was going to be paying the fees. And they literally told me to my face, like, she is a small business. We don't want her as a client. And for me, I knew that there was this whole community out there that needed legal help. And so I knew, like, you know that feeling you're just like, okay, I think I'll have business, but I'm not really quite sure. That's really where I was. And I wasn't, I didn't know for sure that I would have enough to sustain me and my family. So that's what really what was holding me back. But then when I left the firm, I remember that night, I just like posted on Facebook, like, okay, this is a thing now. I'm officially on my own. And immediately, like, the floodgates opened and I was officially in business.
Nice. So it sounded like things got off to a good start there. When you have new clients coming in, what all kind of things are you typically helping them with?
Most of the time it's trademarks. We also have an all access pass, which came about through trademark clients. And this gives them all access to us, basically having an attorney on a retainer. You get unlimited emails. You get 60 minutes of phone calls every month. You get document review, access to contract templates. It's basically our way of providing a retainer to clients that's affordable. And that came about because trademark clients would, you know, kind of just come back to me and ask questions here and there. And most
scope creep.
Yeah. And most attorneys charge hourly. And I'd been there at the big firm, did that, and did not want to do it anymore. So, and instead of like, you know, I didn't want to charge for every 5-minute email that I sent, but at the same time, all that adds up. So then I came out with the all access pass that we have, and that pretty much clients are either trademarks or with the Legalpreneur, which is our service.
Yeah. So a lot of the listeners of the podcast now are either in the beginning stages or just getting started up with their business. Like what type of problems and challenges might be out there, maybe that they realize and are avoiding, or they don't even know are potentially there for someone in that stage?
Yeah. So number one is filing as an LLC. And if you go to like any Facebook group and ask the question like, hey, should I be an LLC now? Or, you know, when should I be an LLC? You'll literally get a million different answers from a million different people. And you'll even get a different answer from your accountant than you would from me. But I tell clients like, look, I'm looking at your overall liability picture. And because that's how I look at things, not just your finances or whatever, you need to be an LLC as soon as possible. So most people will say, oh, don't worry about it till you're, you know, like till you're making this amount of money or this amount of money. I say, no, like the moment that you say like you're in business, you need to be an LLC, because what happens is day one, you open your business, you're not making any money. And so you don't file the LLC. Day two, you blow up overnight, you're making all this money. Day three, you decide to file as an LLC. Well, if on day one or two, you did something that can cause you to get sued, then you don't get the liability protection that you would if you were an LLC on day one, because it's not retroactive. So by waiting till day three to file your LLC, you're leaving yourself open to liability in all these other instances. So I tell people you want to file as soon as possible because you don't know what's going to happen within your business. And quite frankly, you don't know when you're breaking the law. You don't know when you're committing copyright infringement or trademark infringement. And that's why the LLC is there, to protect you and your personal assets. And that's what the LLC does. It protects you as an individual from the debts of your company.
Yeah. So is that process different from like state to state, or like it's just like go to your like local state small business website and there's like a how-to or what?
Yeah. So every state, it's different with every state. Trademarks are federal. There's one for, you know, one website for federal trademarks. LLCs have nothing to do with trademarks. So, and a lot of people get that confused. So if you want to file for an LLC, literally all you have to do is go to your state Secretary of State website. So if you're in Texas, you go to the Texas Secretary of State website and they have the how-tos, like how to do it on your own. Sometimes they'll say like, you may want to reach out to an attorney to help you. It's completely up to you, however you want to do it. So we definitely help clients with that. We do it all the time. The one suggestion I have is to not use LegalZoom or Rocket Lawyer or anything like that, because the only thing you're paying them for is to use their specific form. They're not attorneys. They're not making sure that you did things correctly. You are literally paying them to use their specific form. And if you want to work with an attorney, you can pay extra with LegalZoom, but by the time you pay extra to work with an attorney through them, you're paying more than what you'd be paying to work with a small business attorney like me. So I tell clients all the time, like, if you want to do it yourself, DIY, that's completely fine. Just skip LegalZoom and go to your state Secretary of State website.
Nice. Good insight. I didn't know that about LegalZoom and Rocket Lawyer. So yeah, I figured it was like a one and done solution, which a lot of people probably do when they get into it.
Yeah. And the thing is, they, like, I get it, they're cheap, but they're not attorneys. They're not looking at your, like, what you submitted to make sure that you did something, you know, to make sure you filled it out correctly. They can't, because they're not attorneys. So mm-hmm. you're filling out their form and they're taking everything you did and putting it on the Secretary of State's website. So just skip that step, save that money, and just go directly to your Secretary of State, pay their filing fee, and that's it.
Yep. Cool. What else are people getting wrong out there or might be waiting in the bushes for them?
Yeah. So pretty much there's really one huge thing that gets almost all businesses in trouble, and that's using photos that don't belong to them. And that's copyright infringement. So every photo the copyright belongs to typically the photographer. And the moment you take the photo, it's protected with the copyright. It doesn't matter if they have a registration or not. It's already protected the moment the work is created.
So does that mean like going on, like, searching Google Images and like snagging something and like using that little stock image for your website and stuff like that?
Yes, exactly. So those photos on Pinterest, on Google, like, that's a big no-no. And even then, even with free stock photos, you have to be very careful, because even though they're free, some websites like Creative Commons, they allow their photographers to basically stipulate any type of little thing to add to the license. And that's what you're getting, is a license to use their photo. Well, they can add something like, oh, they have to give me credit in the photo, or they can only use it for, you know, editorial purposes, or whatever. They can add any little stipulation. So then the photographers will go and they will scan the internet to see everybody that's using their supposedly free stock photo and see who's not abiding by their little stipulations. And then they'll sue them, because it's still copyright infringement, even though they had, you know, they said it was a free stock photo, but they didn't read the fine print. So it's still copyright infringement and they can still get sued.
Are there photographers out there that are like, that's their game plan?
Oh, 100%. That is totally their business plan. And more judges are, you know, catching wind of it. And basically they like judge it, especially one judge in New York, I can't remember his name, but he noticed how this one attorney had filed like all these lawsuits in the past year. And he finally was like, no, get this out of here. Like, you're not using this, you know, to actually defend the law. You're using this as your business plan. And that's not what my courtroom's for.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I feel like there's all kinds of people that have like these like malicious schemes that they're cooking up in the background to try to get people. And the thing is, like, a lot of small businesses, they don't have the resources to handle anything like that, right? If they get sued, a lot of times they're like, screwed, like, it's time to shut up shop and try something else.
Cool. Yeah.
Anything else that, like, we as small business owners should be, like, careful for? I know you're, like, you specialize a lot in trademarks. Like, what related to trademarks should we know about or be concerned about?
Yeah, so trademarks are also very, very critical for small business owners. And the number one thing as a small business owner that you have to be aware of is it's not just trademark infringement when it's the same name. It's anything that's similar enough that consumers could be confused. So my brand name is Andrea Sager Law. If there's an Andrea Sager Legal or Andrea Sager even spelled differently, that's all trademark infringement. So if you want to add the to the beginning or store to the end or something generic or just something, you know, just adding a word here or taking a word there, it could still be trademark infringement. And that's what a lot of small business owners don't realize. And you can get sued for that. And once you have the federal registration, you can petition any online platform to remove the page, the content, whatever it is, as long as you have the federal registration. So essentially, I get a lot of business owners that, number one, they're like, oh, I don't need to worry about trademarks right now. But number one, in order to make sure you're not infringing on somebody, you need to do an official trademark search. And that's making sure that there's no other similar names that it could still be infringement. And then they don't want to file, but if you already have the registration and you find somebody on Instagram or on Facebook, or if they have a Shopify website and they have your same name, as long as you have the federal registration, you can submit a claim to those sites and typically they'll remove it. And this happens because if they don't, then they're also liable for trademark infringement.
And this is like when you talk about like the searching for that, is that on, that's the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office site?
So that would be a basic search that I typically tell my clients, like, hopefully you've already done this because you want to find something that would be the same name. So you want to catch the low hanging fruit. That way you're not paying us to find something that you could have found yourself. But you still need to do an official search through an attorney because they know what to look for as far as similar names that could be infringement.
Got it. And what about like, cause I go in there and look when we're doing various things with projects or clients or whatever, just to see what's out there. And you see like, some are dead and some are alive. Like what do terms like that mean if somebody's going in there and searching?
Yeah. So if you're searching on the test database, if it says live, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's registered. It only means that it's not dead, really. Like it could still be registered. If it says live and there's a registration number next to it, then that means it's registered. If it says dead, that means it's either it never got approved or they were approved, but then they never renewed it or it got canceled. But because I'm sure that you've come across this where people will search the term in there and they'll see it and they're like, oh, no, we can't use it, but it may say dead. And people don't realize that just because it pops up on tests, it doesn't mean that it's registered. So you also have to know how to read the test database because live, really, it could just mean that they submitted their application yesterday, or it could mean that they're in a, you know, they've been in a 2-year battle trying to get the trademark. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they are registered.
Got it. And this is a rookie question on my side, and hopefully other people have this question as well. So regarding trademarks, the difference between like the TM and the R, right? Because you're saying R registered. That's like when you see like a name and you see like the R with the circle beside it versus when you see a name and you see like the TM. Like I've always, maybe how I interpret it is one of those is like it's been filed and approved and it's official, and the other one is like trying to like say I'm going to put this here and to say that in the future I plan on doing this. Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, the R circle, that is the registered symbol. Do not use that until you actually have a registration, because the trademark office considers it fraud for you to use it before you have an actual registration. So even if you've applied, do not use it until you have an actual registration certificate. The TM or the SM, that means that you claim to have the exclusive right to use that term. Doesn't mean that you have that right. It just means that you're claiming to have that right. You don't even have to apply. You don't have to, like, you can put TM pretty much on everything. It doesn't mean that you have rights. The R circle means that you do have the exclusive right to use that term.
Got it. Yeah. I don't remember where I was hearing this at, but it was kind of what I remembered was if you've got the TM beside something and somebody else has the TM behind like the same thing, then if it were to go to court, it would be like whoever was using it first. Is that valid?
Typically. Yeah. So pretty much whoever, the person that has priority is the one that's using it first. There are some exceptions here and there, but pretty much, yeah.
Got it. Cool. No, thanks for clearing that up. I'm sure a lot of people had that or didn't even know that there was a difference between the TM and the R with the circle around it. I think that a lot of people are super uninformed when it comes to that, I guess is the right word. So,
right. And there's no requirement to use any symbol. So a lot of people say, oh, well, they didn't use the symbol, so it's not infringement. And there's no requirement to use any symbol. So if, you know, you see a term online and there's no symbol there, that doesn't mean it's not registered. It just means that they're not using a symbol.
Yeah. Wonder why, this is curiosity now, wonder why a lot of companies, why do they use the like R symbol behind their name? Because to me, a lot of times I'm like, man, that logo would look so much better if it didn't have that R at the end of it.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's just preference. Honestly,
it's just preference. Cool. So what else? Anything else? Any big, like to use your term from earlier, any low-hanging fruit that people may not be aware of as far as from like a legal standpoint related to like people just starting out, whether maybe they're starting a e-commerce store like you did early on, or they're starting maybe a service-based agency online or anything like that? Any other things they should be aware of?
Always use a contract. don't be afraid to use a contract, because I hear a lot of times like, oh, I don't want them to think I'm trying to screw them over. Like, no, I'm not going to say you're never trying to screw them over, because I know there's plenty of people out there trying to get away with stuff, but all a contract is specifying what you are going to be providing to somebody, the services that you're providing or goods that you're selling, whatever it is. All it is getting specific as to what is covered. And by not using a contract, I see people lose thousands and thousands of dollars every single day because they were too afraid to use a contract. They didn't know where to get a contract. And seriously, like, it doesn't have to be expensive. So, and that's one of my main things is like, my big thing is I believe small businesses deserve affordable legal protection. And that's my firm belief, because my thing is I don't want the next Google or Apple to be put out of business because they couldn't afford legal services. With that, you can find templates anywhere online. And when you're just starting out, a template, like, obviously you don't want to rely on a template, but if that's all you have access to, or if that's all you can afford, like, that's perfectly fine. And then as you get momentum in your business, you're making more money, then you graduate to getting that custom contract with an attorney. So I have a lot of businesses who will use it and we have a template vault where clients just pay a flat fee to get access to the vault. And then they download whatever they need. Clients use, like, they'll start with that. And then as they're in business, like, they know, okay, I want to add this to the contract, or I want to add this. I don't really need this in the contract. Because at the beginning, you probably don't know the specifics of everything that you need in your contract or everything that you're going to be offering in your business. So a template may honestly be your best bet for a while. But then once you graduate to getting that custom contract, you do want to get that done as soon as possible, because, like, I see contracts every single day, and there's so many people running around with awful, awful contracts. Like, I had one client a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at her employee agreement, and it was something she downloaded from Rocket Lawyer. And I was like, girlfriend, we have to get your employee out of this contract as soon as possible. Because it was essentially just like, it was so backwards. Like, I'm trying to remember, like, the big thing, but essentially it was just like, she was stuck in the contract forever, but the employee could, like, say, you know, bounce at any time and say peace out and take, like, all this stuff. And I was like, no, like, we have to get you out of this as soon as possible.
Well, yeah. And the thing is, I think a lot of people, like, naively are just like, yeah, let me download this, and, like, all I'm going to put my name at the bottom and not really take the time to read through it, or are too, I think a lot of people are just too intimidated from all, like, the legalese that's used in contracts to even try to, like, comprehend what it means. So I think that's where, you know, people like you really come in handy and are able to support people.
Yeah, no, that's the goal. We just want to support small business owners and help them realize it doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be expensive, but you can't keep putting it on the back burner. Like, it's something that you have to face head on.
Is there anything going on right now? Like, so as we recorded this, there's a lot going on in the world as far as like the pandemic and all that stuff that's happening. Is there anything unrelated to the pandemic and stuff, like on the legal side of things, that's changing for small businesses that maybe that changed this year or is coming up that people should be aware of?
Yeah. So as far as changing, not anything crazy changing as far as the law. I actually just posted an IGTV video on this though for trademarks, because I know a lot of people are struggling right now. So it's a matter of, oh, am I going to be able to make payroll, or am I going to be able to pay rent? Am I going to be able to stay in business? But even though there's those businesses that are struggling, there's going to be thousands and thousands of new businesses launching during this period, because people have the downtime at home, the people who have the 9-to-5, and they get that taste of what it's like to work from home or kind of like have that freedom. And they're gonna be like, hell no, I'm never going back to a 9-to-5.
I was just thinking that today. I was like, man, there's gonna be like another, because I feel like about 3 years ago, there was like a boom in like the, you know, entrepreneurs, like, I want to be an entrepreneur. I feel like we're about to get a big like boom of that again, because you have all these people that are either just bored at home or have lost their job and they're looking for something else. And yeah, I agree with you. I think that I was actually just thinking about that today. There's going to be like a big influx of people starting online businesses.
Oh yeah, 100%. And the thing is, the existing businesses, if they don't have that protection, you're going to be fighting for it down the road. And like we mentioned earlier, whoever was in business first has priority, but guess what? You have to spend money to keep that priority. So if you don't get your trademark registration now, you're going to be paying tens of thousands of dollars down the road to keep your business. So spend the money now, get protected, put that protection in place, and then you spend a lot less money down the road defending yourself.
Do trademarks apply? Is it only to physical products?
No, it's products and services.
Okay. So can you give me an example of a service that would need trademarked?
Yeah. So my brand name is Andrea Sager Law. Within our firm, we have the Legalpreneur, which is our all access pass, and that's considered a service. So we've trademarked Legalpreneur for that service.
Gotcha.
And others, I mean, if you have an online course, the name of the course can be protected. If you have specific names of products, a product line, all of that can be protected. Your podcast name can be protected. We just launched the Legalpreneur podcast. That's protected.
Can it be like, so if I think about like, if I launched a, so this is a real example. So if we launched a course, or I just said it was a real example. So we did launch a course, and 3 weeks later, somebody else launched a course with the exact same branding, and they just changed it one number in the name of the course from like one to another. Obviously, I'm not like, like if somebody wants to do that, like good luck. I hope they crush it. But I'm sure like if it was at a super large scale, like it could be a big deal. Like if something like that, could that be like infringement if like something like that was trademarked and somebody just did a small change to it and kept all the same branding and everything?
Probably. Yeah. Okay. I would have to see like both names and see exactly like what the products are, but probably.
Yeah. It was the same product.
Yeah. So yeah, that sounds like it's probably true.
Yeah. So I'm sure stuff like that happens all the time. Like I know I'm not the anomaly or anything. Anybody with a good idea probably has people like trying to figure out how to knock it off.
Yeah.
So I know one of our clients, he's big in the Amazon space, and I know they talk about stuff like this all the time. Like trademarks and stuff are really, really big deal with online, you know, Amazon, any really online product business like that, with stuff coming online from other countries and other people and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, no, this has been super informative. I appreciate you coming on and sharing. So I'm just curious, any plans for you to get back into any of the online business stuff besides the on the legal side?
Oh, trust me. Like I have new ideas every single day, but I have to like tone it back because it's a lot of work. Like people don't realize how much work it is running an e-commerce business. And because I mean, people will see, oh, they're making so much money and they say they work 2 hours a week. And I'm like, not at the beginning, they don't.
Right.
So, and I think where I still work with tons of e-commerce businesses, it gives me enough insight and enough taste of e-commerce life that I'm like, okay, I'm okay for now. But I'm always just like, oh, I would love to sell this, or I'd love to create a brand that does this, but I just don't have the bandwidth right now. I mean, yeah, maybe one day, but definitely not right now.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it for sure. It is 100% not a cakewalk like some people that are trying to sell you stuff make it out to be. But no, that's cool. So again, I appreciate you coming on here. Any last thoughts for anybody kind of hitting the ground out there, starting a business, whether it be because they have downtime or anything like that? Any words of wisdom?
Yeah, I mean, just don't put it on the back burner. Your legal stuff, like, attack it head on. Don't be afraid. Like, we don't bite. Small business attorneys are very helpful, and because we're just like you, we're small business owners as well. So we just want to help you guys succeed. I like, especially with our legalpreneur, we try to take a full comprehensive approach to helping our businesses keep the money they make and helping them grow the right way. So yeah, make sure to check out the podcast, the Legalpreneur podcast just launched. So yeah.
That's exciting. And then the website is?
Yeah, so my website is AndreaSager.com, and you can find me at AndreaSagerLaw on Instagram.
Last name is S-A-G-E-R?
Yes.
Cool. Awesome. It was amazing to chat with you. Thank you for all the insights. A lot of this is, I'm sure like a lot of people, it is like foreign language to them. So I appreciate you coming on, breaking it down, making it seem simple, and giving us some of those key areas that we can focus on as we start our businesses and kind of get out into the world, especially for those like many people in the audience that do not have a entrepreneurial background. Many times it's going to be their first adventure into this whole thing. And, you know, the legal side of things often terrifies people. So thank you for coming on and making it sound simple. And you guys, if you're just starting out and you don't want to spend hours searching Google or trying to figure it out on your own, head over and check out our website, check out the podcast. And thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes below. And if you like this podcast and want me to keep bringing you great episodes each week, here are a few ways you can support the Hustle to Freedom podcast. First, take a screenshot of the podcast and send it to a friend who may like it. Second, I'm doing a drawing for a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal for every 5 iTunes reviews I receive. So if you want a chance to win, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcast and send me an email at hello@gritandhustle.co. Detailed instructions on how to do this are in the show notes below. Third, take your side hustle to the next level by implementing a sales funnel to turn your passive website visitors into paying customers with ClickFunnels, the number one sales funnel software in the world. You can get a free trial by going to gritandhustle.co/profit. And fourth, if you're interested in podcasting also, which is the fastest growing content medium in the world, head over to gritandhustle.co/podcastingmadeeasy to enroll in my course now. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.